Tim Kuen. There's a tweet from my friend Jane Costin, host of the New York Times podcast, The Argument, that I want to share with you. It says, quote, if you're a Michigan and Lions fan, this has been the greatest two-week period of your life, end quote. We just saw Big Blue win the national title, and now the Detroit Lions are doing things they haven't done in more than three decades. Winning their division, hosting and winning playoff games, heading to their first NFC championship game in 32 years. We remember because we were there. It was in D.C. I was a kid. You recently visited Detroit to spend time in the Lions camp. What were the vibes like around town, sir?
Oh, you know, apologies to Michigan fans, but there's a whole different history with the Lions than there is with Michigan. Michigan's expected to be good. They've been good many, many years. This team has captured this city in a way that that you rarely see. It's classic first success, right? Where this team comes together and everybody kind of grows up with them and watches them. And I think that hope that they started with Dan Campbell 3 years ago has really blossomed into something that people really feel an ownership with this team in Detroit. And they're just wildly behind them, as you might expect.
Look at everywhere. Look at this. You don't see nothing like this. This is Detroit versus everyone.
For people who haven't.
I happened to visit during week 17, which was after the infamous Cowboys loss. You know, two days after the game, these billboards appeared around town. There were several of them in Grand Rapids and Flint and Detroit that just said Decker reported. And I think that was sort of a sign, right, that these people are just so into it that somebody anonymously spent thousands of dollars just to put that up on a billboard to tell people really what they already knew anyway, which was that Decker reported.
Decker reported, of course, being a reference to the blown call against the Lions on the two-point conversion that should have been successful, ultimately costing them a game a few weeks ago against the Cowboys. But even that disappointment hasn't quieted the joy around the city. We've seen fans literally sobbing in their seats, tears of joy, mind you. The Ford company released a Lions-specific logo for their car company. It's just been everywhere. And it all starts with head coach Dan Campbell and the culture he's installed. How has he changed things so drastically, Tim?
The way he's done it is very viscerally. He has done it from the ground up, and his personality and being part of everything and really connecting with players.
Okay, I'll just say it like this, all right? Hey, you're good enough for Detroit, Jeff. Yeah!
And, you know, I go around that locker room and talk to guys, and they say the most amazing thing about him is how everybody knows where they stand. There are no walls. And in many, you know, many Major League Baseball teams, NFL teams, NBA teams, there are walls. The guys don't always trust the people making the decisions. There has to be a certain barrier between the people that make those decisions and the people that play. They don't feel that there. They feel like there's just this togetherness that to a man, they say they've never really experienced in professional football.
In a season full of exceptional coaching jobs, there are few that you can point at as being better than what Dan Campbell has done with his Detroit Lions this season. The man recently anointed as the 2023 NFC Coach of the Year, who himself was a member of the 0-16 2008 Lions, now has them knocking on the door of a Super Bowl appearance in only his third season at the helm. So today, Tim Kuen, fresh off a trip to Detroit, tells us how Campbell accomplished this monumental overhaul on the field, in the locker room, and throughout Motor City itself. I'm Clinton Yates, kiddos. It's Friday, January 26th. This is ESPN Daily. Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week.
Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Tim, for most of us, this whole thing starts with Dan Campbell being introduced as the Lions head coach at the press conference, launching into one of the strangest introductory diatribes we've ever heard.
And so this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take 2 more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take 3 shots to get us down. And when we do,
a lot of people, even around town, kind of looked at him as an unserious person at that point. But beyond the almost cartoonish vibe on display there, Campbell in a coat and tie, describing violence like a scene out of Monty Python or something, what did you learn about the man himself leading this team and who he actually was?
Well, I learned that there's a lot more there, as you might expect, because you can't just be a football meathead 24 hours a day and get people to follow you. You know, there's a lot of substance to him. And if you watch the way that he wears his emotions on his sleeve, he's not afraid to cry in a press conference.
When you see your players give all that they have and you lose that way, it's tough. You know, you don't want that for them. So, but we'll be better for it, you know.
His personality is very reflective of almost like a fan. You know, he goes through the same phases during a game as a fan does. And, you know, I feel that players really respond to that. They respond to that sort of visceral emotion and the feeling that, you know, this guy is as invested in it as they are. And invested in it in a way that is sort of more at a ground level than at, you know, 40,000 feet. He is there with them. He has the type of charisma that is, you can't fake. You can't fake what this guy has. He's got a realness to him that seems to be drawing everyone to him, not only in the locker room, in the city, and in a lot of places around the NFL. There are a lot of people that have become Lions fans in the last few weeks because of the way that he coaches and the way that his team responds to that coaching.
I got to say, that NFC Championship game back in 1992, I went to every home game that year as a child. It was my introduction to the NFL. I was that lucky. It was the one game I thought my hometown Washington football team was going to lose. You know why? Because they had Barry Sanders. Oh, well.
They still remember Barry very fondly in Detroit. I think he's their last great memory of Detroit Lions football.
You describe Dan Campbell in your profile piece that's up on ESPN.com right now as, quote, the kind of guy who every football player in history at every level has played with but not for, end quote. What did you mean by that?
Well, watching him, you know, in the 15 minutes that we get before practice starts and watching him go around and how he handles himself with his team and with the press, that image just came to me that, you know, I played high school football. I played with Dan Campbell. You know, he had a different name, but he was always in the weight room. He was always, you know, headbutting guys before the game. It nothing meant more to him than the game. And I think that's who he is. And that's part of that draw that he has, is that every guy, and I kind of crowdsourced this. I asked guys if they bought into that, and they were like, that's right. That's exactly right. There's always a Dan Campbell in the locker room, and there might be a Dan Campbell on the coaching staff. But most of the time, he's just like a mugshot in a media guide. He's the tight ends coach, or he's, you know, the special teams coach or something. But his rawness is rarely something that a team will willingly make the face of their franchise. And that's kind of what I was getting at with that, is that he is rare in that he does not appear to be caught up in the politics of anything. The way he coaches, the way he goes for it on fourth down, his seemingly crazy fake punts, they just reek of a guy who's not afraid of losing this job.
But number two for Fox. Oh, they fake it and go inside. They fake from their own 17-yard line and pick up the first down.
You just don't expect it from inside the 20-yard line. I mean, Dan Campbell setting the tone already for this season. Anything goes.
He's coaching to win, and he's coaching to win over the guys on his roster. And it's kind of fun to watch because it is rare. It is rare to see that Dan Campbell personality be in charge.
You could tell from when they were on Hard Knocks immediately that infectious attitude was something that was really going to affect this team. But I'm going to go back a few weeks to the moments after the Lions lost to the Cowboys, when the refs quite literally blew the game with a bad call on that two-point conversion.
Play action. End zone. There it is! Unbelievable! The two-point try is good.
What else could be?
Touching by number 68.
So the call is an illegal touch. I think number 70 and number 68 came in.
How did Campbell's reactions after the game and in the days following help keep his Lions team on track?
Well, he had called this incredibly perfect play, right? He had a tackle eligible. Jared Goff rolled to one side, threw it back to Taylor Decker. And it really was the culmination of a season to beat the Cowboys in Dallas and to you know, put themselves in a position to maybe, you know, get the second seed, and they were still perhaps in the running for the top seed at the time. So it was just a devastating loss. And as I describe in the piece, Campbell came just barging into the press conference, you know, and he's red faced and he's a big, thick guy, and he just filled the room right away. And it just was like, okay, this is gonna be good. And he held onto the podium with both hands like it was gonna fly away. And he just went, you know, he tried his hardest not to say what he wanted to say.
They need to announce that if both players report.
Two people can't report. I don't want to talk about it. All right. I explain everything pregame to a T. Okay, I did that. 70 reported, 68 didn't. We threw it to 68. That was the explanation.
But he kept being asked about it. He kept saying he didn't want to talk about it, that he just explained it and he had nothing else to say. And then after that, on Monday at his press conference, he just said, we're over it.
I woke up yesterday. I'm ready, man. I've got controlled fury and I'm ready to go. I'm absolutely ready to go. I don't go the other way. So, and the team won't either. We're on a mission, and we're not going to feel sorry for ourselves and wallow in everything. So we will use this as fuel. I got pure octane right now. I woke up. I'm ready. So we're moving forward.
I talked to Jared Goff about it, and he said he'd never left a game that he lost feeling better about the game. Like, it was just a weird feeling because in their minds, they won. They did what they had to win, and it didn't happen. And so I think the way that Campbell redirected them, you know, and just said, we're over that. He didn't linger on it. So nobody else was allowed to, right? It was just like, hey, we're past it.
Jared Goff, of course, the team's starting quarterback, and the relationship between the QB and the head coach is certainly an important one. So between Campbell and Goff, that's no exception. You reported on Goff extensively during his time with Los Angeles. I happen to live in Los Angeles, so I know exactly what that exit was like. What did you learn about those two and how they relate to each other in your reporting?
Well, Clinton, you know, I go back to high school with Jared Goff because he played against two of my sons in baseball and football. So I know I've watched him from the time he was a freshman in high school and seen, you know, just what a remarkable talent he's always been. And the one thing that I always thought people undersold with him was his toughness. And I think that his toughness was put to such a test after that Rams departure, because he was basically broken. I mean, he had been scapegoated out of LA. You know, there's the famous line that Sean McVay said about when he was asked after the playoff loss if Goff was still his quarterback, and he said he's our quarterback for now. You know, those two words were just a knife, you know, into Goff's psyche.
A few years later, you get traded to Detroit. What was your like initial reaction to that after you just led your team to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was hard. It was definitely difficult. It was a hard time, you know, because it was kind of I wasn't aware that was a possibility, or that's something that, you know, they were thinking about. You know, I wish there would have been some conversations that weren't had. It was difficult personally and obviously on the field professionally.
And when he got to Detroit, he didn't know what to expect. He'd never lived anywhere but California. He kind of was very low, as he put it, because he showed up as somebody that was viewed as a failure. And Campbell really, in addition to Jared's family and other people, but Campbell was the guy that kind of put him back together.
There's three things that I think about with Jared Goff. He's tough, he's durable, and most importantly, he's a winner. He has won in this league. He knows how to win. And I told him this, and I'm going to continue to tell him, all we need from him is to come in and play quarterback. You just play quarterback. You don't have to be a savior here. You just be the quarterback.
You know, I think that belief that Campbell had in Goff, you know, everybody thought that trade with Stafford going to LA was that Goff was just kind of dumped in the deal, right? Like he had to go along to make the trade work.
Yeah.
But the guys in Detroit didn't see it that way. Dan Campbell didn't see it that way. He saw it as an opportunity rather than an albatross. And I think that is the way that he had to treat Jared Goff. It was the only way that Goff was going to come out of that hole, was if he had somebody like Dan Campbell put his arm around him and say, hey, you know, I believe in you. I don't care about anybody else.
Let's be frank here, though, Tim. The Lions have not been good for ages. And frankly, Dan Campbell is perfectly positioned to understand that. He was on that 0-16 Lions team in 2008. Do you think anybody else would have been as well suited to understanding what needed to change and what needed to happen in Detroit?
It seems unlikely, Clinton, that somebody could combine the personal history and the personality the way Dan Campbell has, and his knowledge of that city and his apparent love for that city. It feels like he could have been successful anywhere. Like this program that he has put in place and the way he's dealt with his team and his coaches feels like it could transfer other places. You know, it could work anywhere. However, it works really, really well here because he feels a connection to the community. He went through a winless season wearing that uniform. So it means a little bit more to be the guy that turns it around. And I think that's really part of what has really brought this city together behind this team, is that they feel organic. You know, it feels like this team was built organically behind a guy that gets them. And I think that is a really rare and cool thing in professional sports.
Before we move on to the challenge that the Lions have coming up this weekend, after spending time there, how convinced are you that this motivator, fiery guy approach is in fact sustainable in the NFL?
That's a great question, Clinton, because we've seen it. We saw it in San Francisco with Jim Harbaugh, where he kind of burned out, you know, and he kind of had that same charisma. You know, there's a different vibe around Harbaugh, but there was just that same sort of rah-rah emotional tie that he had with his players, and it wasn't sustainable.
And we'll have another example of how sustainable the Harbaugh approach is as news broke that he will be returning to the NFL on the sidelines as a head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers next season.
You know, I think that I get back to the people telling me not to confuse the outward meathead with the guy that is inside, the smart, very, his emotional intelligence, Dan Campbell, I'm talking about, obviously, is off the charts. He gets when to push and when to pull back. And I think, you know, if I had to bet right now, I'd say it's going to be. I feel like he's going to have a pretty good run in Detroit. It may not have this kind of success every year, probably won't. But I think he's going to be remembered very fondly when he's done. When he's done coaching the Lions, they're probably going to put a statue out in front of the stadium.
Well, the face of the last Lions team to make the NFC Championship has one, Barry Sanders, so it might be fitting that Dan Campbell gets one as well. Coming up, we'll dig into the matchup facing the Lions on Sunday. When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Okay, Tim, I want to dive into this weekend's big game, the Detroit Lions and the San Francisco 49ers, to decide who will be going to the Super Bowl. What's your sense, being around that locker room, of how the Lions are approaching this game?
Well, Clinton, I think that we've seen during the regular season, we've seen through two playoff games, that these guys believe it, right? Like, we might be skeptical of who are the Lions and they've been bad for so long. How can they be this good? How can they go in and win in Santa Clara against this 49ers juggernaut? But they don't look at it that way. You know, they're very confident. They feel like, you know, that they dictate the tempo and the just the way that the game is played. They feel like defensively and offensively that they're going to come out and make the 49ers react to them. Remains to be seen if it works, but I think the vibe in that locker room is just full speed ahead, and this is just another another obstacle on their way to really writing some incredible story by the end of this.
Full disclosure, though, you live in Niners country, Tim. You can't really avoid that team or their fan base. What are the challenges you think that team poses for the Lions?
Oh, many and multiple challenges. I think that the 49ers offense has just so many different ways that they can win, and Kyle Shanahan has so many different plays at his disposal, and everything that they do is really intended to hit the worst weaknesses of the defense.
Little flip, Deebo Samuel gets a block from IU. Good run. First down and then some for Samuel, who's into Seattle territory.
We didn't see it that much last week against the Packers, but I think going into this game, there are some significant issues that the Lions have. You know, they have given up huge, huge games to good wide receivers all year.
Matthew alone in the shotgun, play clock at three. He's ready, he has it. Against a four-man rush, well protected, deep down the left side, Puka behind the defense, caught the 20, they go inside the 10, slips into the end zone, touchdown LA!
I know CJ Gardner-Johnson coming back has really made their secondary a little bit better. I still think it's a weakness for them. And I think that, you know, whether Deebo Samuel plays and depending on what percentage of him the 49ers are able to put on the field will have a lot to do with how well they can exploit all those issues that the Lions have in the secondary. you know, defensively. It's interesting to me because the 49ers defense gave up a lot of really big run plays last week to Aaron Jones. And, you know, the Lions have an incredible running game.
Goff will move in behind center, offset eye behind him, up back Kubinda, deep back Gibbs. Goff turns, Gibbs to Gibbs over the left side. There he goes inside the 30, inside the 25. Gibbs, speed, 10, 5, end zone, touchdown.
Yes, sir.
Lions turning on the Jets. Jahmyr Gibbs running away from the defenders, and the Lions are back on top.
And if they can get that going, if they can, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery can really start rolling, then that opens up Goff. That allows him to get the time he needs. And it, when he has time, he is as good as anybody. I mean, if they can pressure him and shut down the running game, it's going to be a long day for the Lions. But I do think that there is an avenue for victory here for the Lions. I get that they're underdogs. I think they deserve to be underdogs, but I think there is a pathway there for them if everything breaks correctly.
To that point, we've heard this phrase quite a few times over the course of the playoffs about this team, which is that they are playing with house money. Nobody's saying they're not going to battle to the end, but this season will likely be considered a massive success for Dan Campbell and the team, regardless of the outcome at Levi's Stadium on Sunday. On the other side of the coin, though, Kyle Shanahan and this team have been to the NFC Championship game in four of the past five seasons and ultimately do not have anything to show for it rings-wise. How would you describe where the pressure lies in this matchup?
I think it's a great dichotomy between these two coaches, Clinton. I think that I think all the pressure's on Kyle Shanahan. That doesn't mean that he's going to feel it or he's going to blow it or anything like that. But I do feel like when you say house money, it can be a cliche. But when you look at it in terms of Dan Campbell and the Lions, it seems really appropriate. He doesn't concern himself with next week or whether he's going to have a job in another month. He's coaching for the moment. And a lot of it is that visceral approach that he takes to everything. And I think that Shanahan is in a position, you know, you could kind of write off last year because Brock Purdy got hurt and then, you know, Josh Jackson got, they were ended up with McCaffrey as their quarterback. So that NFC Championship game was kind of a wash. It was an outlier, but this 49ers team has been built to win right now. And they on paper have the best talent. They have a better team than the Lions, just to be honest about it. But I think that a lot of this will come down to how Shanahan plays it. If it's a close game, you know, Shanahan tends to play a little close to the vest, you know, and I think that is going to be very interesting to watch how Campbell and Shanahan go back and forth and whether Campbell is as, you know, successfully reckless, is that a way to put it, in this game as he has been all season.
This team has been molded in the form of Dan Campbell, but let's just say, for whatever reason, it doesn't go on. What of what you have seen do you think are the things that he definitely needs to keep doing for the Lions to take the next step?
I feel like going to the NFC Championship game in his third season is proof that whatever he's doing, he probably needs to keep doing it until it fails. That's how I would put it. You know, I think that the things that he needs to keep doing is keep connecting with his players. You know, as I watched before every single practice that I attended, he goes up and down the stretching lines every day and makes physical contact with every single player and says something. And it's usually just, hey, let's have a great day or something. And he's, you know, he's hugging guys, he's, you know, he's shaking hands, he's patting guys on the back. There's just something that he does every day to keep that connection. And I think that's what he needs to keep doing. That's his superpower, right? Is that he can connect to these guys and they feel it. That's the key, is for him to, as we say, no walls, right? Is if walls start being built, people are going to start wondering if he's real. And I think that, you know, we have no reason to believe he's not.
You know what everybody's going to be eating for dinner in Detroit the night before the game on Saturday, right? Mom spaghetti. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Clinton.
I'm Clinton Yates. This has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by Bruce Baldwin, Ashley Brown, Bradford Craig, Andrew Hahn, Alexander Hyacinth, Ryan Nantel, Mike Philbrick, and Phoebe Untermann. Special thanks to Jackson Agello. We'll talk to you Monday, kiddos.